Welcome to Words of Grace, radio ministry of Elder Ben Winslet, pastor of the Flint River Primitive Baptist Church near Huntsville, Alabama. We invite you to stay tuned to today's broadcast.
Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that thou art. Thou my best thought, by day or by night. Waking or sleeping, thy presence my light. I King of heaven, my victory won, may I reach heaven's joys, bright heaven's sun. Heart of my own heart, whatever befall,
on our broadcast today, we're going to play part two of a message that we delivered a couple of weeks ago at Flint River Primitive Baptist Church entitled Burning the Dross. As we pointed out last week in our introduction, the things that we suffer in the world, the various afflictions, regardless of the cause of the affliction, can break us, can make us bitter, or the suffering that we experience can make us stronger. Afflictions have a way of burning out the dross. And looking around the American landscape today, certainly we can all agree that this is a very trying time for us in a variety of ways. Everyone this year has experienced something negative, whether it be from the pandemic or the economic crisis that resulted from that pandemic, or the natural disasters that we've experienced and continue to experience, and certainly many have suffered because of the violence that we have seen in our streets. This has been a year of much affliction. Now, while there are a variety of causes of affliction in the world, things that are common to man, things we bring upon ourselves, or even times that God chastens us, as we live through the afflictions, if we set our eye on Christ and we seek Him and we pray and we turn from any wickedness in our lives, we grow stronger through the fiery furnace of affliction. We mature and we become more seasoned and skilled as disciples when we look to God for our strength. And so here's today's message, part two of Burning the Dross.
It is inevitable that a church go through trials. I want to turn to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and begin looking at what Paul wrote to the church at Corinth in the third chapter of 1 Corinthians regarding one of their problems. Now, I don't know if you're aware or not. I imagine that you are. The church at Corinth was an absolute mess. This church had all sorts of problems. They had loose discipline. There was a guy here who was committing adultery with his father's wife, his stepmother, and the church there was glorying in it. They enjoyed the controversy. I don't know if you realize this, but people enjoy drama. And if there's any doubt, just get in the comment section of a news story on Facebook or Twitter. People love drama. We are dramatic little creatures. They had turned communion into a drunken feast where the prominent got to go before those that were not as well known. There were people there who were flaunting their liberty and, perhaps worst of all, there was a faction of preachers who taught that there was no resurrection of the body. And so when Paul writes to them, he absolutely rebukes them. In 2 Corinthians, he said, I wrote to you and I made you sorry. And I was sorry that you sorrowed, but I'm not sorry that you repented, because that repentance led to deliverance. The problem that Paul rebukes in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 is what we would refer to today as preacher worship. He begins telling them, I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but even as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. Now, let me pause here and interject a statement. It's a popular idea among some conservative predestinarian evangelicals today that there is no such thing as a carnal Christian. Let's read this slowly. I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. First of all, these people were babes in Christ. They were not unregenerates. In fact, when he wrote to them introducing this, he says that Jesus Christ shall confirm you unto the end that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. He's not writing to unregenerates here. And he tells them, these babes in Christ, that he could not address them as if they were spiritual, but he had to speak to them as if they are carnal. These were carnal Christians. Are we the same way after the new birth as before? No. We are different after the new birth. But you see, there's a giant excluded middle between a new birth with no effect and this idea that if I'm really saved, I'm going to be XYZ and cannot do ABC. After the new birth, we have two natures, the nature of the spirit and the nature of the flesh. I am to grow in grace. I am different in a real, personal, vital, incredible way than I was before the new birth. But I can also be carnal in the sense that I act like a fool. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. You read the book of 1 Corinthians, and you'll see all of the ways that this particular church was carnal that he could fit in 16 chapters. It's no surprise that this is among his longest writings. The particular carnality that he's addressing at this point, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? Division in church comes from carnality among church members. Specifically in this case, while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Now, what's the backstory to this? Paul founded this church in the book of Acts. The next man that served this church was a man named Apollos, who was the present pastor of this church. You had people at that church who said, no, I don't like this Apollos guy. He's a newcomer. Yeah, he's eloquent in his speech, but I really don't like him. I like Paul. Paul's my man. Other people were like, I don't like Paul. I like Apollos. He's our current pastor. But then you have other people. You have people who said, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, or Cephas, or Christ. You had people in this congregation, they were basically factioning themselves around whichever man was their favorite preacher, and Paul is rebuking that. And he says, for while one saith, I'm of Paul, and another of Apollos, are you not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos but ministers? Now, when we say minister today, some people, oh, he's a minister, oh, he's a preacher. You know what the word minister means? Servant. You know what the word slave means? Servant. He's a slave of Jesus. Now, that suddenly seems far more humbling than a position of celebrity status, doesn't it? They're slaves of Jesus by whom you've believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. Who gave you the preachers? Christ gave you the preachers. I have planted, the church there was planted by Paul. Apollos watered. The church there was watered by Apollos, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God giveth the increase. Now that ought to kick out the feet from under all of us. Neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Preacher, minister, friend, what are you? Not anything. Or the synonym, nothing. All the hard work, Lord, don't you know? Nothing. And we are laborers in the harvest. There is a God of the harvest, the Lord Jesus, and He blesses us with increase. If there is increase, it is because God has blessed, and at the end of the day, I am an unprofitable servant. Now, he that planteth and he that watereth are one. There was no division between Paul and Apollos. They're yoke fellows. Paul loves Apollos. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. And I agree with our forefathers that rewards for labor occur in this life and not in the world to come. In the world to come, we are joint heirs with Christ, and what we receive is an inheritance. Inheritance are not earned. For we are laborers together with God. That's a comforting thought to anyone who's ever preached the gospel. We're laborers with God. He is with us. He enables us. He builds us up. He makes it to work. If God is not with us, nothing I do will be successful. And that's an idol that people have in our day and age, especially preachers, the idol of success. God didn't call us to be successful. He called us to be faithful. But we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. Now, Paul would turn around and say that he is a wise master builder, but ultimately who's building here? God is building as Paul builds. God is enabling Paul. He's strengthening Paul. He's opening doors for Paul. He's closing doors for Paul. He's protecting Paul from affliction and persecutors. He's giving him opportunity to preach. He's giving him liberty to preach. Paul is building, and yet God is building. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me, how do we labor? By the grace of God. As a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another man buildeth thereon. Apollos. Paul laid the foundation for the church. He planted it. Apollos has built on the foundation. Now, what does this have to do with trials? Hang on. Other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. The foundation of every true church is the Lord Jesus Christ. What did Paul say in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2? He says in verse 2, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Now that doesn't mean the only subject that Paul preached was Christ, but in every subject Paul preached, the center was Christ. Or as we like to say here, no matter what message you're trying to talk about on a Sunday, you start there and you run as quickly as you can to the cross. Jesus is the center of every single message we preach. Whether it be from the Old Testament or the New, if it's a practical matter, it's because of Christ, as unto Christ. If it's from the Old Testament, it points to Christ. Salvation is only through Christ, and we serve and we worship only Christ. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 23, we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block and to the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both of Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. We preach Christ and Him crucified. The foundation of this church is Christ. Now let's begin looking at verses 12 through 15. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, that is a list that is written in a diminishing value. Gold, secondarily silver, third, precious stones, and then wood, hay, and stubble. You have three things that are precious, three things that are common, three things that will last, three things that will not, three things that will be purified by the fires, three things that will be burned to ash by the fires. Paul's meaning here is the foundation is not up for discussion. It's Christ. Whatever we build on that foundation is going to be tried. What we teach from the pulpit is either going to be valuable or simply chaff, fluff. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. Now, we're tried by fire, but what we do as a church will be revealed by fire. In other words, you might have some wood that's spray painted with a golden gloss, but the second the fire comes, it's burned up. It looked like gold, but it wasn't gold. Gold's a very unique metal. I'd encourage you to study it sometime, and its value, its ability to be shaped, the lack of tarnishing that a piece of gold can endure. It really is an amazing metal, and that's why it's, number one, used throughout human history as the chief form of currency, and number two, why Scripture compares it to itself and the wisdom of God. And as Jesus would say to the church at Laodicea, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. They thought they were rich. They didn't know they were poor. And he tells them, buy of me gold tried in the fire. There's purity that you can have in the Word of God. Get this mentality, not the common Laodicean mentality, which is to say, I'm rich, increased with goods, have need of nothing. You don't know that you're wretched and naked and miserable and blind and poor. Sounds a lot like America today. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. Now, I want you to notice the shalls of this verse. Every man's work shall be made manifest. Means it's an inevitability. The day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. It is inescapable that we as a church will be tried by fire. And what Paul had built, what Apollos had built, would be tried by fire. And when the afflictions of this life come, it will either burn up what they believe, how they practice, what they do, or it will strengthen them, depending on whether or not they find gold, silver, precious stones, or wood, hay, and stubble. The fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Our church, now that's applied to what he taught, but I want to apply it to us as a body of people. Our church shall be tried. Fires will come to Flint River. Right now, our church is being tried because we're all still here. We will be tried. There will be afflictions. And depending on how we react to them, we'll either be strengthened or we'll be burnt up and purged. Now, I want to apply this also to every individual here, because we want to look at it from the individual perspective in just a moment. This church body will be tried by fire. And for me to remain, for you to remain, we have to have the correct mindset and mentality, or we will be burned up and purged. Again, a different metaphor is that of a vineyard and a vine. Branches that bring forth no fruit, what does the husbandman of the vine do in the parable of the vine in John chapter 15? He purges it that it might bring forth more fruit. If I become a dead branch on this vine, you know what the Lord will do? He will purge me from it. Let us all beware that we live in such a way to be the gold, the silver, and the precious stones of Flint River and not wood, hay, or stubble that gets burned up because of the affliction. And that applies to every one of us. Beware. Be cautious. Now, there's another point that I want to give you from this, and we've danced all around it. The same fire that burns up the wood, the hay, and the stubble purifies the gold and the silver. In other words, there aren't two forms of trials or fires, but the same fire that purifies one burns up the other. And individually, my mentality will determine my growth, my strength, my faithfulness to the cause, my reliance on Christ will determine whether or not I am gold, silver, precious stones, or wood, hay, and stubble. The old saying is, the same heat that melts the wax hardens the steel. An affliction might burn me up, and it might strengthen the person standing beside me. I've tried to emphasize it, and I hope you realize the way we respond to that determines our end in the matter. And again, we're speaking of things in this world. This is not talking about an afterlife circumstance. This is here. The what shall declare it. The day, every day. Oh, we're tried. These afflictions around us today can either cause us as individuals or as a church body to grow stronger or to be burned up. Can I use the word worried? Scripture says be careful for nothing, but it also says the zeal of his house has eaten me up. I'm worried, nearly sick, about so many congregations in our country right now. I see so many discouraged pastors online. Praise God. Thank you so much for being faithful to come out here and skip rows and use two or three rooms and wear masks so we can abide by state guidelines and safely meet together in a time of pandemic. Praise God for your steadfastness. Thank you. I know pastors that went from 30 to 40 people to a dozen or less. You want to talk about heartbroken men? That'll break a man's heart. All the momentum, not only put to stop, but you're going backwards. Thank you for being who you are. We can grow stronger. We can be purified, or we can be burned up. And it's up to us. By God's grace, the same fire that burns away one purifies the other. Think about this. Back to Psalm 66. All of those afflictions before verse 10 had reference to the deliverance out of Egypt. That means that God intended for Israel to be purified and strengthened and grown through that process. Do you think deliverance out of Egypt and all the plagues grew Israel? It ought to have. Now, we know that they wandered 40 years in the wilderness because of their unbelief and could not enter into God's rest. So we know that they were hard-hearted and stiff-necked. But what did those afflictions do to Pharaoh? It hardened his heart. You see, God didn't, and this is famous biblical language, God hardened Pharaoh's heart. God didn't harden Pharaoh's heart by taking a normal little soft guy and saying, you know, you're just going to be a jerk from now on. I have spoken it. That's not how it worked. How did God harden Pharaoh's heart? By afflicting him and making him submit with the affliction and then letting up. Kind of like the process of heating and cooling metal. You heat it up, you cool it off. You heat it up, you cool it off, and it hardens the metal. It's literally the word that's used with reference to his heart. God applies the fire of affliction, and then he lifts it up. Pharaoh's made to submit, and then he's let go. He's made to submit, and he lets go. And it hardened his heart. The same trial that was meant to grow and educate and inform and strengthen and purify Israel hardened the heart of Pharaoh so that he came against them and against God even unto his death. But the same trial that softened one hardened another. Verse 14 says, if a man's work abide which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. Burning and suffering loss is very painful, but he himself shall be saved, even so as by fire. That's not talking about he gets to go to heaven or is regenerated because of the fires. It's talking about him being improved and bettered as a minister of the gospel because of the fires that have taught him. The afflictions prepare us. They strengthen us. Now, I wanted to spend some time talking about being tried as individuals. And I think much of what we would have said about that, we said from the book of 1 Corinthians. I want to read for you just a couple of passages. And we'll just read them for you. James says in James 1, referring to the individual. Now, 1 Corinthians 3 is talking about what a pastor teaches and a church body being tried. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations. knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Now, to be very clear, there are some temptations that are common to man. Further, we read from the latter portions of this passage, as we quoted at the beginning of today's message, let no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God. The word tempt there means to be solicited with sin, the Greek word. In the Old Testament, the word tempt means to test, which is to try. But tempt here means to solicit with sin. Let no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God. God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. If I'm solicited with sin, which is one form of trial, I never need to think for a moment that God is soliciting me with sin. God does not solicit us with sin. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Did you know when you are facing temptation, even caused by your lust in your heart to sin, and you endure that temptation, that is a fiery trial? And you grow stronger by resisting the temptation? Resist the devil and he will what? Flee from you. We grow stronger in our mortification of sin by resisting it when the temptation occurs. Every man's tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. When lust hath conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. The trying of your faith worketh patience. Lastly, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 7 through 9. The trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, not the trial, but the faith. You see, the trial is compared to the fire. The faith is compared to the gold. Why is it precious? Because it is born of God. It is begotten of God in your heart, in your soul. It is literally Christ in you, the hope of glory, so that anything that you do by faith, you did through the power of Christ in you. And I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. The trial of your faith, faith being much more precious than gold that perisheth. Now, I thought you said gold doesn't perish. The fire only purifies it in this world, but there's coming a day when God's hot wrath is going to be poured out on this universe, and even the gold is burned up. Though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. It is my prayer for you that as we endure the trial of 2020, we are more mature, stronger, and more fervently waiting for the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, that our faith might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, in whom though you now see him not, yet believing you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, that which it looks forward to, even the salvation of your souls. As we close today, this difficult season can grow us, it can shape us, it can strengthen us as individuals, it can strengthen us as a church, and it can model what it means to be a Christian indeed to our families, to our friends, in our own personal lives.
If you enjoy the messages you hear on Words of Grace, consider this your invitation to visit a Primitive Baptist church in your community. An online directory is available at marchtozion.com. Copies of this and other broadcasts are available for download on iTunes and on our website. And finally, Words of Grace is a listener-supported program. To contact us, address your correspondence to Words of Grace Radio, 641 Moontown Road, Brownsboro, Alabama, 35741, or visit us online at flintriverpbc.org.